Okay, so last week we talked about self-care and mind over matter and meditation and some different methods to help with self-care. But this week we're talking about soy. And there's a lot of misinformation about soy, a lot of controversy. People are very anti-soy or pro-soy. So we want to get deep into this. And there's a lot of estrogen in soy, so it's related to cancer. Maybe not. Anyway, would you like to start off with a story about soy, Daniel?
Sure. One thing I really want to address on this episode is the breast cancer, because it's actually the opposite from what I'm reading. A lot of studies showing now that soy can actually help prevent breast cancer. Because for example, the women of Okinawa, they've eaten soy for generations, and they have much less breast cancer, and they have less prostate cancer, because soy helps protect against breast cancer, prostate cancer, and some stomach cancers. I was looking at a study just this morning about it. They found women who ate at least 10 milligrams of soy a day after a breast cancer diagnosis had 25% lower risk of recurrence. So even
Wow.
women who have had or had breast cancer, soy can help recurrent. I mean, can help prevent recurrence. So I don't know how people got on it can cause cancer, when it's actually the opposite. So,
Yes. So I think that where the myth came from was there was someone who studied breast cancer. They realized that estrogen dominance, high estrogen, was related to these cancers. And then they saw that estrogen is in some of these foods. And so they started telling people they needed to stop eating these foods. And so one study came out showing that high estrogen foods are related to breast cancer. And they told everyone they needed to stop eating soy because soy is very high in estrogen. Well, several studies since then have come out showing that that's false. And why it is false is we all have estrogen receptors on our cells, but we are mammalian. We have animal cells. And so, if we have estrogen-rich foods that are from another mammal, like dairy, those estrogens are going to fit into our cells. Those mammalian cell receptors are going to accept that mammalian estrogen. It's, I want to say that one's alpha. I might have alpha and beta confused. Plant estrogens are different. So if the animal estrogens are alpha, plant estrogens are beta. And so it's kind of like if you've ever put in the wrong key in the keyhole, you stick your key into the keyhole, but you can't turn it. And you're like, why can't I turn it? It's the same thing when you eat plant estrogens. They will not go into our cells. They actually will clog that receptor. So then we can't get more estrogen in, which actually is protective. And so And that the estrogens that are in plants and herbs are plants. So our soy, some of the herbs, we'll talk about those in a minute. They actually protect people who are high in estrogen because it blocks those receptors. So then the estrogen can continue to go into the liver and processed and moved out of the body to protect.
that's a really good breakdown, Jennifer.
I like soy. I love tofu.
Oh yeah.
I didn't at first, but now that I know how to cook it, I love soy milk. I buy soybeans and I sprout them myself and put them in soups and things, make my own soy milk and stuff like that. And so now I do because of the studies, but I was afraid of soy just like everybody else until I realized it. Dr. Christy Funk, if anyone listening to this, if you are really concerned about breast cancer, Dr. Christy Funk was the doctor who performed surgery on Christina Applegate and Angelina Jolie, who both had double mastectomies because they realized that they have the breast cancer gene. Well, Dr. Christy Funk will tell you, she was strongly against soy. And then she started writing the book. She wrote this book, Breasts, the Owner's Manual. And in her research, she realized that soy is actually protective, that we need to be eating soy and we need to cut out dairy and animal products. And she was so flabbergasted by the research that not only did she completely change right away, she has triplet boys who she said that morning for breakfast, their lunches were turkey cheese sticks wrapped in turkey, that she was very much into the low carb paleo. That's what she had fed her boys. And she said she immediately went downstairs, threw everything away, and they immediately went plant-based based on the studies that she learned. And so now she's a very, very large advocate of eating things like soy and herbs that help to protect us from estrogen dominance. So she's a fabulous resource. I love her. She's a vibrant personality. So anyone who's concerned about soy, please look into Dr. Christy Funk. I'll put her name in the show notes. But I love learning about that. But so let's talk a little bit about sources of soy. Do you look for specific things when you are buying things that are high in soy products?
I make sure it's non-GMO. I don't know how you feel about that, but I want to make sure it's organic when I get it, because there's a lot of evidence GMOs can be harmful to us. So I make sure if I'm going to do tofu, it's organic. I prefer tofu as far as a taste, from a taste perspective. Mm-hmm. Tempeh, I know tempeh is a fermented soy product, but I don't particularly like the taste. Mm. But if I'm going to get tempeh, I make sure it's either non-GMO or organic. Now, there's like two different things. Organic is supposed to be non-GMO, but there's also products that are non-organic and it says it's non-GMO. So I don't know if I trust those as much as the organic label.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
Because I don't know about the I don't know how well it's regulated. So.
Right. I look for organic, non-GMO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And then I do like edamame.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Edamame. And then, like I said, I buy dried beans. I actually get mine on Amazon direct from a farmer. They're organic, non-GMO soybeans. Wow. And I don't know why we don't eat those. I mean, they taste really good. I soak and sprout mine and then cook them. But you just treat them just like any other dried bean. They taste like a really good white bean. They're really good. And then I like to make my own soy milk with them. And they're delicious. So I don't know why we don't eat them, but you can buy them straight from a farmer, even on Amazon.
So you just cook them and you sprout them, cook them, and then just blend them up for the milk, or?
So soy milk does have to be cooked. I actually use a Soyabella. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard of that.
It kind of looks like a coffee carafe, but you can make any kind of nut milk. Like you can make almond milk, oat milk, any of those things. It's pretty inexpensive. It's like $100. It's just like an almond cow. Half the price, and it heats to make soy milk. Sorry, almond cow, but I just pour in a quart of my distilled water with my sprouted beans in the little strainer, and you attach it and you plug it in, and then you hit milk, and it takes about 15 minutes. It heats up, it cooks, it grinds, and then you pour it out. It's strained, and you have a quart of soy milk. I mean, how easy is that?
Wow.
Yeah. That's all from awesome. Yeah. A cup of, it's like they provide a little cup, but all from your cup of beans. Beans are inexpensive. And when you buy soy milk on the shelves, if you read those ingredients, there's all kinds of fillers. You know, they want to keep it all homogenized. And so sometimes they'll add gum fillers or tapioca and things like that, which can put us on a whole different subject. But when you make it at home like this, I mean, mine is distilled water and soybeans.
That's pure, yeah.
Right. Or if I make almond milk, I know today we're talking about soy, but I put in a cup of almonds. I always soak nuts first, but I put in a cup of almonds and a quarter distilled water. And then you press mill and strain it. And there you go. You have almond milk or oat milk or whatever. Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, I'm like you. I do drink some of the commercial milks, but I'm wary of them because they have a lot of synthetic vitamins. And I'm not so sure about calcium carbonate, but that's another subject.
Yes. Let's make that a note that we need to talk about vitamins on another one. Yes, vitamins and supplements. Let's definitely talk about that on another day. Okay, so let's talk about some herbs that contain estrogen. So a lot of times when they get to a certain age, women, they start looking at different hormone replacement and things like that. But there are definitely some herbs that can help. Always consult your doctor. You know, medical disclaimer here, we are not doctors. We do not diagnose, treat, or prescribe. But if you are having issues with hot flashes and things like that, Then number one, you need to clean up your diet. Hot flashes are usually liver congestion. And so we need to look at that, but there are herbs that can help you. Specific herbs are like red clover, which is also a blood cleanser, which can not only help with your liver, it helps with your blood. It also contains some estrogens. These are plant-based estrogens. So they are protective. They're not harmful. Black cohosh, evening primrose. I'm not as familiar with evening primrose. We didn't talk about that often in the School of Natural Healing. I know you can get different oils for that. I would like to grow my own seeds and just use the seeds for different things. And then there's chaste tree, which is also called vitex berry. That is also a wonderful one that also is enhances progesterone. And so progesterone is the happy hormone. And so for someone who maybe you're entering menopause, you're premenopausal, and you're having some not only hormonal issues, but maybe some depression or feeling down, chaste tree or vitex berry can be very helpful for that. Do you have something you would like to add about the herbs?
Well, remember when we were at the Utah, when we were in Utah with the first doctor that taught, I can't think of his name.
I can't say his name.
His name is like
yes. Very,
I can remember he's talking about his wife, and she went through menopause and it was smooth, like it went great because she was taking the hormonal changes formula and the female reproductive formula from Dr. Yes. Christopher. Mm-hmm. And it kept all her hormones balanced during her menopause. Mm-hmm. He said she didn't have any hot flashes or anything. So,
yeah.
Could you imagine? I mean, a lot of women think, oh, menopause, oh, God, it's going to suck. I'm going to have hot flashes and I'm going to have cramps or whatever. But
yes,
you can use natural remedies to make a much smoother transition through menopause with these herbs.
Yes. Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about men who are afraid to eat soy. What are some of the myths that men share about eating soy, being afraid to eat soy?
Oh, there's a myth that will lower your testosterone. You'll grow female breasts. You'll get weaker. And I don't know. All these myths, they're crazy because I consider myself a bodybuilder, a healthy bodybuilder. And of course, I've done my research on soy, and there are studies showing that soy does the opposite. I mean, some studies, soy can actually raise your testosterone. Soy, they compare soy to beef protein for muscle building, and soy was equal to beef protein for muscle building. Mm-hmm. And I've never met a guy that started eating soy and looked like Pamela Anderson. So it just doesn't happen. I've been eating soy, and look, my chest looks the same as it always has. Also, soy is showing protection against prostate cancer, which is a big thing that us guys have to worry about. It can actually help protect our prostate. So all these myths you're hearing about, they're not true. You should not be afraid of soy, guys. Even if you're not plant-based, you can do like some plant-based days. Like today, I'm going to have tofu from a protein source instead of, I don't know, a hamburger, you know? Mm-hmm. So
what about soy protein powders? You know, if you are a weightlifter. Well,
that's a processed food, you know?
Yes.
I don't take it because when I was younger, before I knew all this, I would take things like that, but we don't need that. If we just eat whole foods, you're going to get all you need to build muscle and stay strong, because I haven't touched protein powder in years, and I don't have any problem with my energy or my strength levels, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easy to get, like we talked about in our other protein episode, it's easy to get enough protein without using the protein powders. Mm-hmm. But if you are not quite ready to accept that, we talked about soy, the forms that we do eat, but we didn't talk about like soy isolates. And so if you're buying soy protein, it usually is in an isolated form, meaning that they've extracted certain components from the soy, and that can actually be hazardous. And so the soy in its whole form, like a edamame, a bean, and tofu is not whole, but it is, like, I could make tofu from my soybeans easily. I just need to add, I can't remember what I need to add to it, but I can put it in a mold and add it to ferment it to make tofu. Here at home, it's not processing a certain chemical from the soy. When we start taking chemicals from an herb, which we can talk about at another time too, or from a food, that is when it can become hazardous. That's why certain foods get banned and things like that. It's not because the food was harmful, it's that chemical in a high amount is harmful. So you have to be very careful if you're buying a something that has soy protein isolate in it, which is in a lot of processed foods.
Yeah.
And which is, we're against processed foods anyway. We eat whole food, plant-based. But whenever you are buying any products, number one, read the ingredients. That's my number one rule in every conversation. Read the ingredients. And look, you don't want anything that's an isolate. You want whole foods. So for me, like TVP, textured, is that right?
Yeah, textured vegetable protein.
Textured vegetable protein. Sometimes it's from chickpeas, sometimes it's from soy, but it's the same thing. It's still highly processed. So if you're something you want to use, you know, occasionally, maybe, but not something on a regular basis, definitely not.
Yeah, I highly agree with that because you just don't know. They still don't know all the detrimental effects these isolates can have on the human body. You know, it could increase inflammation in the body. It could increase possibly your cancer risk, and anything we can do
right
to lower our chance of cancer, we should be doing.
It could even damage the liver. You know, we just don't know.
Yeah. Cause it's too much of these highly concentrated protein sources are hard on our elimination organs, the liver, the kidneys. Yeah.
Creating acid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Right. So is there anything else you want to add to our subject on soy?
Well, what do you recommend as far as servings per week?
I don't know what I recommend. First, soy is on one of the allergy lists.
Yeah.
And so you do want to make sure that you're not allergic to it. And a lot of times people, they think they're not allergic to it. They think they're fine until they remove it. And so I recommend that anyone, for any of the top 8 allergens, which are include peanuts, dairy, eggs, soy. Make sure that you eliminate them for a minimum of 3 days, 4 days. Take them out of your diet completely, and then eat them to see if you have any reactions. And test it for 3 days. So, like, if you just want to test soy, take soy completely out of your diet for 3 or 4 days. And then eat soy, but eat it regularly. You know, maybe have some soy milk, maybe have some tofu, maybe have some edamame today, tomorrow, and the next day, because sometimes you can have a delayed response. And just make sure you don't have any negative effects from eating the soy. If you're all clear, then I think Dr. Barnard says 3 times a day, 3 servings a day of soy. I don't know if I have that much in a day. But I think that that's what they recommend.
Yeah. I think it's for the Okinawans we were talking about earlier. They eat it every day too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe some edamame with your breakfast, some tofu later in the day. Yeah. But not processed.
No. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope we cleared up some myths, because these are really harmful myths, because look, I think soy could be a healthy part of any kind of diet, whatever you're eating. I think that could be healthy for everybody. And, you know, so, and of course, you could do your own research. We're teachers. We're trying to show people different ways, but go look up the studies for yourself. They're out there, you know? So, you know, just go look for, decide for yourself. And that's what I always recommend.
Yes, me too. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Let us know, comments. Let us know what else you would like to hear. If you learned something from today's episode, and if you have something challenging us against soy, we would like to hear that as well.
Yeah.